Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that, you know, after talking with my father in recent days, we came to the decision that we were going to be changing these roles at the end of the season. And that, you know, with that thinking in our mind that we know that we're going to be changing these roles at the end of the season, then your mind then turns to what is the best decision for this group right now.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
White will spin and feed Porzingis for the lead. A 35-footer.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
First big league at bat of the season for Sean Murphy. Cracked rib on February 28th in spring training when he got hit by a pitch. Murphy to left field. Sosa drifts back. Welcome back to the lineup, Sean Murphy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
It's 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Hump day.
Good morning. Happy hump day.
What is happening?
Just figure I make sure I read my big gay planner correctly.
You got the dates correct in there?
Well, I
got
to make sure I lead with... I like to jot notes in my big gay planner.
You got
to
have your notes down.
I do.
Ready to go.
Raise your hand if your team won a baseball game yesterday.
Look at you guys. Red hot and rolling.
Raise your hand if your team scored a run yesterday.
Yeah, you guys got that going for you. Yeah, we suck again. It's over. Fumble
do the Reds day. Only play 1-0 games this season?
Yeah, that's about it. That's about it.
Is
yeah.
that their fifth one in a week?
I think so.
They lost three in a row, they've won two in a row.
Yeah, we just, you know, we're snake bit right now, man. We got to play the same team twice in the first week of the season.
Use all your bullets on the Mariners, huh?
We did. Too many runs. We scored 10 runs in one of those games. That's like good enough for two series for us, man.
Dodgers just can't play in the cold. They can't play in the
they're
cold.
They're a weakness.
They're a warm weather climate
they
team.
They are a warm. Warm weather
like
climate
to get
team.
Back to 75 degrees,
yes.
please.
Can we get a dome somewhere? Where's somewhere? Tampa when we need it?
So yesterday,
well, that's not a dome anymore.
I opened my MLB TV app, and I was going to watch the Bravos, and then I noticed that it was also on TBS.
Ah, yes, the Tuesday
the Braves
TBS
were on
game.
TBS yesterday?
The Brian Anderson game.
Yeah, the games are on TBS and an accessible channel, do I get my money back for a day because I'm not needing to pay for the MLB TV?
No, just be glad it's not blacked out. Normally, on a lot of like the Apple TV one, you don't get the other one. It's Apple TV exclusive.
Oh, yeah.
That annoys the crap out of me.
On Friday nights, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you don't have Apple TV.
The ESPN Sunday night game is an exclusive game.
Yes. But you have ESPN at least, so you can watch it. Nice to have the ability to watch both, but no, unfortunately, you don't get any money back for that.
It's too bad.
In theory, you should.
I should.
Because, you know, you're already paying for cable or, you know, streaming services.
Yeah.
And I don't need to pay for the baseball game that day.
When can it all just be integrated?
We used to have. It's called cable.
I know.
You
know.
If they ask you to pay on a game by game basis, what's the price amount that would get you to watch a good chunk of games? Because what's MLB TV for the year? $100.
$149. Which is still less than a dollar per game day.
So if I told you,
162 games,
that
75
right there.
Cents a game.
Yeah,
you do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Put three quarters in the jukebox. All right, we'll watch the Braves today. Click, click, click.
Well,
99 cents.
No, I'd rather you say
Red
how many games
days.
Do you think you'll watch?
And then you pay for that many games.
And then if you watch more, then they start saying drop them in the jukebox.
You know, that's actually a brilliant marketing strategy that somebody should do. They do that with season tickets for teams. Like I got family we're going to visit soon in Philadelphia, and they're season ticket holders to the Phillies, but they just do the Sunday package. So he buys the season tickets for the year, but it's just for Sunday games, Sunday home games. That's it.
How many? Oh, I guess, well, it'd be what?
So it's probably a dozen, you know, I mean, home whenever you're home for a
Sunday
weekend.
How many Sunday home games are there in a season?
I don't know, 12 to 15.
Yeah,
probably.
About half the season your weekends are at home.
Yeah.
And he just wants to go, you know, it's always a 1 o'clock game. He doesn't want to go, he's older, he don't want to go to 7 o'clock Tuesday night games. So he just buys those. That's the next step in these packages I would love to see.
Major League Baseball does, I mean, if you want to get 81 and you're either have a company where, you know, a lot
you
of
can buy them
businesses.
All, yeah, if you want
but
to.
But no, there's tons of flex packs that they have, you know, all throughout the season.
Well, why don't they do that for TV viewing?
That's my point. That should be the next thing. I just want to buy the weekend. See, yeah. I don't really care about Tuesday night baseball games. Just give me Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I did. I had basketball practice yesterday, so I had to come home and watch the last two innings of the Braves clinch their win against the Phillies.
Yes.
Caught up on all the NBA stuff. I came off as quite the douchebag to one of the parents of the kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
By accident or was it natural?
I mean.
Are we yelling?
Hustle up! No, I wasn't yelling. It was post-practice, and we were leaving, and one of the kids is friends with my kid, and her mom was basically like, hey, we're going to go to the game Friday. If you guys are interested, we can send you the section we're sitting in, because they're playing the Warriors.
The Blazer game on Friday.
And this family is from the Bay Area. They lived in the Bay Area, so they're Warrior fans or Steph Curry fans. And so it's one of the last games of the year. And she goes, oh, we'll send you the information if you guys want to join us. And I was like, where are you sitting? And she's like, I'm not really sure. Tickets were like $68. And I go, oh, $68 for a Warrior game. You're way up there.
That's up top. That's near the top of the building.
And she goes, well, I don't know. And then she checked, and she was in the 300. And I was like, I only go if I sit in the 100.
I'm not going.
You pulled the rob.
That's too hard.
Whoa.
There's nothing wrong
with
that take.
What are you talking about?
Nothing wrong with that take.
There's nothing wrong with sitting anywhere you want to sit at a game.
You do.
I would call that pulling an older, almost 40-year-old adult is what I would call that.
Yeah.
Because if I can't get a great viewing experience, I'm not interested in the big ass drum. Doom, doom.
Yeah, I know.
Doom.
You don't want to be a part of the crew that passes the ball down to the court. Do they still do that? They still do that. It comes from section 324. Look at the ball.
I'm very grateful for those fans. Yeah. I'm just not one of them.
I touch the ball.
I'd rather be at home. So I was like, sorry, I don't think we'll be making
it. I mean,
that.
I get it. The 300 level makes sense if you're doing like a big group and you got a bunch of kids that are going, like, then it's slightly different.
And I'm still out.
And you're, yeah. 99% of me would
say. My wife
say
can go.
I want nothing to do with sitting that high.
I don't watch Steph Curry look like he's 5 inches tall. I see Steph Curry look like he's 6'3".
I don't need to see ants play basketball.
No.
When I have a nice flat screen TV sitting in my house and I'm on my recliner and I'm watching the game at home.
And you got your
for those who even want to watch it.
And you got your Giants on the second screen.
Exactly. Yeah, and you're watching other things.
Touché.
I go to the bathroom whenever I want to go to the bathroom.
Now, are you sitting at the top of the 300 section for the NFL team that you want so badly?
No,
no, no, I would not.
Okay,
no.
I've sat at the top of an NFL stadium before. I went to a Buccaneers Panthers game many moons ago, and we had not quite fully top of the but maybe 10 rows away from top row.
We were mid top row at a Seahawk-Eagle game years ago when A.J. Feely was their starter.
Nah, it's not that good. It's
the highest up.
I was pretty disappointed because that was my first NFL
game excited.
Live.
Hey, I'm in an NFL game. This is awesome.
And it was like dots. And I was like, nah, I'm not interested in this.
No, it helps a little bit in some of these newer NBA arenas, I think, because the jumbotrons are so big that you essentially just are, you're in the arena, you're feeling
the
you're watching TV, but you hear the crowd, you're a part of the, you know, environment and all that stuff. But in a lot of the old NFL stadiums, you don't have that.
Yeah, you get the full NBA experience.
The funny thing was, I remember going to a Blazer game years ago. I had my little brother's buddy's dad is a season ticket holder. And so he'd offered us tickets. So we went to the game, and Kenny Anderson was on the Blazers. Like, that's around the time I'm talking.
Big Kenny Anderson fan.
I was, too.
Georgia Tech alum.
Yeah.
Legend.
I made a sign, and I remember what it said something Kenny Anderson. It was just some Kenny Anderson sign.
Love you, Kenny!
Yeah, and we took it. Do you know where we sat?
Is this in the new building, or?
This is the new building.
Okay. When was that, 95, 94,
it was 95? Probably like 96 when he was the game I went to, I'm guessing. I sat in a section, I don't even know what it's called, but there's tables and it's at the very top of the 300.
It's like a bar seat.
Yeah, but like no bar.
I think Kenny Anderson definitely saw your sign.
And so I remember sitting
there.
Putting the sign up, and I'm
dedication.
Like, he's never going to see this.
Why am I holding this up?
Why did I make this?
This is going to cause me some shoulder pain later in the day. I'm not holding this up the entire game. I feel like an idiot.
That was one of my first, like, I don't want to sit up here ever again.
I want nothing.
Well, that was the thing about Memorial Coliseum. Coliseum, even if you're at the top, you're not that far away.
It's a small barn.
Yeah, it is a small
barn.
It's
a small barn, so you could sit anywhere you want and have a decent view in there.
That was probably the coolest part of the Jailblazer era for us was we'd get tickets from my high school for free because I think the team was begging people to go.
Yeah, they were trying to fill the old building up.
And we would go. And
that was after the sellout streak.
There'd be nobody there, so we would just... Yeah, meander about and get different angles of better seats.
Let's slowly go down closer to the floor. This is great. Nobody
just a
cares.
Group of five of us who are in high school. Just sitting in the 100 section.
Yeah,
huh?
We're down there in 112.
Even the ushers cared.
My parents are down there.
Not even the ushers cared.
Going
to
slowly
point.
Meander down the stairs and get a nice view of this thing.
So douchey or
not douchey? Not douchey at all. Okay. I think for a lot of people,
they ribbed me a little bit for it. And I went,
do they
yeah.
know what yeah. your job is? They know.
I don't.
I think if they understood your job, then it's not.
I think she does. Actually, yeah. I don't talk about my job to anybody.
No, I understand that, but still.
I don't know. Okay. I think she does. My wife's probably told her
what you do for a living.
But
that comes up in conversation. So what does he do for work?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those.
Well, her husband's a doctor, so it's not really impressive. Like, well,
no, but I think
your
access.
He plays fart sounds on the radio.
Your access to the tickets and the team and having been there.
But have you heard the turtle humping sounds?
They play turtles having sex. That's what they do. They're not saving lives, but technically they're kind of saving lives.
He's saving lives.
We're spawning the next generation.
This is what we're doing. We're just, we're entertaining the masses. That's what we do. It's not douchey in the least. I've reached that point in life where I don't like leaving the house for basically anything at this point. Like, I'm just there. It takes a lot to get me out of the house. Usually a round of golf will do it. Other than that, I need some convincing. 300 level. So now I got to drive to the Moda Center. I got to find parking.
She paid $82 for parking.
Yeah, that's just like, what are we doing?
$39 fee.
And if you got a kid, I don't get, like, you want to park close.
We're kind of wondering the same thing.
Right? What is that?
It's the Garden Grove.
The Garden Grove.
That's the garage right attached to it.
Yeah. I thought that was the Garden Garage. Or is that the garden? Maybe it's the same thing.
Well, what are the ones across the street? I park in those ones.
You go,
the ones across the street. Those are what, 20?
Something like that, yeah.
A little 18, bit cheaper. But even then, you've got to find parking. Then you got to battle parking to get out of there. So do you leave the game early? Now I bought a ticket. I'm in there. I'm invested this much money. I kind of want to see the end of the game, but also I don't want to sit in a parking garage for 45 minutes waiting, especially if you're near the top of that thing.
The one attached to the Moda is the most egregious.
It'll take an hour. I mean, it'll not move.
And you can't get out of there anytime soon.
Until everybody gets out. It's just a single file
line. I'm more inclined to park on the other side of the river and take the Max across the Broadway Bridge.
I'd probably be more inclined to do that, too. Mm. Then you got to worry about getting
stabbed. Plus, there's better spots to pregame function on
that is true.
That side of the river.
Okay, and then wait, on top of all of this, I've gone through all of these hurdles, you want me to sit at the top of the arena?
The escalator to the sky?
I get in the gym.
Is that the longest escalator in Portland? Portland.
It takes a half hour.
It really goes
half of a mile per hour.
You're going by the club level. Mm-hmm. You're going by.
Hey, there's all the free food. There's the rich people. See you later.
Going up.
I was
going
to say there's.
Hey, but they got a bar up top now. The Pines. You go drink at the bar.
There is an element of riding that escalator.
No,
and
you're
passing like the club level and the suites.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you guys are making
like the
eye
mountain
contact.
Climber on the Price is Right.
Last time I sat up there, I'm pretty sure for any event was the Garth Brooks concert, and the whole time I just cursed your name.
Damn it, straight bastard!
I invited you to go with me and migrate tickets.
I mean, I did.
I don't know why you were cursing my name.
It was the next night.
Yeah, you knew you were going. Why were you cursing me?
Just, sometimes life's not fair, man.
I only got on that call to spite you.
I know you did.
You couldn't have
worked out. That's one of the most dirt moves you've ever made. And I was actually, while simultaneously pissed off at you sitting in the 300 level looking at Aunt Garth Brooks.
A little impressed.
A little proud. A little proud about that.
I didn't even know Garth Brooks was in town. He's like, dude, I got a call right now. The lines, these tickets are going to go. And I just like, I'm going to call. I just thought it was funny.
Where are your seats? Section 397. Where are you? Four rows from the stage.
Oh, cool. All right. That's great.
I think we paid the same price. They did. He has the same price ticket for every seat in the building for his concerts. Because he's a man of the people.
It's just random draw.
Random draw. Wherever you are in queue, you want the best tickets available? Yes, I do. Okay. You're four rows from the stage.
Blame it all on my roots. What do you want?
That was the last time I was up there, and I thought, you know what? Never
Sprague's
again.
Sprague's got friends in low places.
Never again. I was a friend in a high place that night. This is ridiculous, man.
That's why I brought you down to my low place.
Get me down to your low place.
Cillian Murphy, the actor who won the Oscar 2 years ago.
Yes.
You just reminded me. He had a quote that I just saw, And this is an old quote, but he said, I like being at home. My life's simple. I read books. I watch movies. I listen to music. I walk my dog. And I cook with my family. I'm very boring.
Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful week right there. You tell me that's my Monday through Friday? Sign me up, buddy.
You're all in?
You get me home, I'm not going anywhere. If it includes driving. I'll walk somewhere if it's in the neighborhood, but I'm not driving anywhere.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. It was a major big bomb that went off yesterday in the sports world.
Yeah, you thought I was kidding.
No, I actually saw the news.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 20 seconds before you had texted. I was going to text it.
Oh, okay.
And then you texted.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what?
What are the odds 2 years ago that you could have gambled on that Chauncey Billups would still be coaching before the guy who just won an NBA championship? Yeah.
Okay, riddle me this, because we'll start with this. We have two guests today.
Teams will fire coaches that win titles, and we just hold on to ours.
Josh Dover's going to join us from Denver for the ticker at 7:30. And then at 8:15,
yes,
we have Gavin Dawson.
Right, G-Bag Nation. Formerly of the fan.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's the Luka return game. Will he get tossed for blinking his eyes towards the direction of the officials?
Right.
It's just ridiculous how they're doing all of that.
Yes.
But we'll get to Gavin Dawson at 8:15. We'll get to our stat or story. We'll figure out what time we want to do stat or story. And Dover will join us at 7:30. Let's start with the big news, because we're going to get back into it. So we'll start. The Nuggets have fired their coach, and I've got a trivia question related to the Blazers. So we'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. Well, Mike Malone got rickrolled yesterday. How about this breaking news? We had Taylor Jenkins get fired by the Grizzlies, and we thought, that's crazy. The season's winding down, and you're going to fire him? The Denver Nuggets said, hold our beer. We're going to take it a step further. We've got 3 games to go. We're going to fire our coach and our general manager.
Clean house. Why not? When did they win a championship again? Can you remind me of that?
2 seasons ago.
That's right. Okay, just wanted to confirm. Yeah. It was 2 seasons ago.
Well, it so this was his 10th season.
It was.
Give him the 10 years credit, because he basically got to the finish line. Which,
yeah.
There was certainly not a lot of good going on. Look, we'll see what Denver ends up doing. They got an Adelman running that situation now.
PIL.
Yeah. Pride of Lincoln.
Man, the PIL is just...
I think.
Yeah, he's a Lincoln kid.
Yeah, Lincoln High School.
The post-high school.
Yeah, sure. I get it. I know.
The coaching stuff did not...
No, I know. I digress.
Anyways.
That's 2 PIL coaches in the NBA.
You're damn right it is.
And 3 from Portland area high schools.
Yeah. Well, Portland's a basketball town.
That we are.
But there was a lot of intel that relationship between Calvin Booth and Mike Malone was icy.
Not very good.
If you would have said yesterday, Sprague, would you be shocked if they were fired at the end of the season? I would have told you, nah, not really.
Especially if they lose first or second round, early exit. Like, all right, it's kind of run its course.
I wouldn't really blame Mike Malone. I kind of more look Calvin Booth. But also, are you willing to spend money? And if they're not willing to go into apron stuff, how much can I fully blame the general manager? But either way, I would have told you that wouldn't have surprised me. It's about the timing of it. And so Josh Dover's going to join us at 7:30. He's a Denver radio host. He's been on the show a lot. And I texted him to come on the show. And I said, hey, man, side note, just out of curiosity, scale of 1 to 10 how surprised you are they fired Malone. Because I thought Booth for sure was going to get axed. And he said 20. It's a 20 because they fired Mike Malone, which, what? But also, they fired Mike Malone with this many games left in the season?
Right before the playoffs start.
Right before the playoffs, you're going to fire the coach that helped lead you to your championship?
2 years ago.
Has been there for a decade, is your all-time wins leader?
Yeah.
Like,
they might have home court advantage in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's very possible.
They have not been playing good basketball, so maybe not, because the Clippers are surging, but they might end up with home court advantage.
So before I let you give your thoughts on seeing this, because I got another angle of this I want to talk about with you.
Yeah.
Where is Chauncey rank right now in the NBA of tenured coaches?
Oh, God. This is year 5 for him, I believe.
4.
Year 4 for Chauncey.
There's a 5-year deal with the 1 year being an extended.
So, I mean, you go through, like, Spoelstra's obviously a long time guy. Does Popovich technically still count? I mean, he's technically still the head coach, even though he's not.
Sure.
I know.
Yeah.
But you can technically throw him in there. How many, I mean, I'll say he's top 12, top 10-ish.
Oh, I think it's higher than that. I think he's higher than 7 or 8.
Dirt nailed it. He's 10th. He's the 10th highest tenured coach in the NBA.
I can't wait till we get back-to-back announcement days of yesterday. The Nuggets won an NBA championship, might have home court advantage in the playoffs, and just fired their coach and their general manager. We just extended our general manager because he finally won more than 30 games in a season, and we're going to extend Chauncey Billups. I can't wait till that announcement
comes.
Well,
in the West, you have Kerr. So Kerr's been there.
Kerr, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
How long is Daniel Yote be there
Daniel
for the Thunder?
Dagnall.
That's it.
That's the name.
He's been there 3 years, I think. I think Chauncey was here before Dagnall.
When did Finch get to the Timberwolves?
I don't remember the year.
It's about the same.
Probably about the same.
I think he's been there about the same
time. I mean, he's 10, so you just need
to. And how long has Lou been with the Clippers?
That's a good one.
Well, Chauncey was his assistant.
Right.
So he's been there longer.
So he's been there longer. Yeah. So three, maybe four in the West.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. I think Joe Mazzulla is like the 13th longest tenured coach.
That guy just took over and won a title.
Well, I mean, look.
Can't wait for him to get fired next year when we give Chauncey another five-year deal.
I'm not familiar with this NBA. This is not an NBA I grew up with.
No.
Is coaches getting axed at this point of the season?
This is hockey stuff. This is NHL stuff.
This happens a lot in the NHL. There's teams that have gone on to win Stanley Cups. Yeah. Mike Johnston, the head coach for a long time in the Winterhawks, went to coach the Penguins for 2 years. They turfed him halfway through a season, and they went on to win a Stanley Cup. So it doesn't derail your year. I think it's another reminder of, yes, they're significant, but also not the most important piece of your organization. I thought what made this most interesting was simply the total clearing of house. General manager and coach. And I get that, you know, if there's a butting of heads on one side or the other,
you should pick a side.
Yeah, the GM wanted some of the younger guys to play. I read some of that. He was miffed with some of the minutes that Westbrook was getting.
They didn't like each other.
Right? They just weren't getting along. So I get hey, this is not a relationship that's going to work. We need a separation here. You usually pick one side of that. And Denver was like, nah, let's just fire everybody going into the playoffs.
You know, the other part of this, we got audio from Kroenke that I want to get to as well. Josh Kroenke, because Stan is the owner, but Josh is the
president, I think, of the
he's
team.
He's the Nepo owner.
He's the governor.
Yeah.
He's the one.
Stephen Jones.
He's Stephen Jones.
He's the one that makes the call on voting.
He's part
NBA
of the reason
stuff.
Secession was such a great show, is you get to see the inner workings of daddy created or did something. What son do? Well, he's naturally going to be what daddy was.
Give me some of those scraps, baby. I'm going to run that NBA team because I have so much experience running NBA teams.
Well, he at least did an interview.
He did
the interview day of.
What's that like? Yeah, I'll give him credit for that.
Gave his thoughts. We can play that audio. I also want to get to this on the other side because I want to carry this over. Will this pay off for them? Is this a waving of the white flag of the season before even getting to the playoffs? With debatably the best player in the league on your roster, and some of the fallout that maybe isn't getting enough attention, but it would in the right circumstance. So we'll get to that coming up next as the Nuggets fire their coach. A couple other NBA dealings as well. I have a Masters segment today for Dirt.
Thank God.
And Swaggy's.
Thank God.
Golf Northwest.
I got Nuggies up the yin yang.
Do you?
Masters Nuggies all over. It's Pimento Cheese Wednesday, baby.
That's right. They're coming in
today. Oh,
do you have a delivery time?
I don't have a specific delivery time, but I tracked my delivery, and I know that it's in the city limits.
It's here.
It's somewhere in the city limits.
Do you guys want azaleas tomorrow morning, Friday morning, both mornings? What do you want to do?
We'll give you that answer off the air.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It'd be really funny if your package came opened and half eaten.
Are you going to make them here in the studio?
I'll bring the elements in.
I can tomorrow bring in the cup. I'm getting cups. I have souvenir cups. We can drink out of Masters souvenir cups with our azalea cocktails.
Look at us getting our white people golf thing on.
Let's go, baby.
How about that?
Tony Fee now. Where he be now?
Yeah, that's coming as well. But more, a little bit more on this Mike Malone firing the NBA Western Conference. Why is the NBA okay with this? We got a lot to get to. Durden Sprigg back with more on The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to ask you guys before we tie in a Blazer thing with this Malone firing in Denver. If it was LeBron James as the star player of the Nuggets,
Coach Killer,
Kevin Durant, like
he's a diva.
I'm kind of surprised. I watched a couple of things from Denver media, and it was a bunch of different radio hosts and podcast hosts. It's just like 2-3 minute little clips, and I went and I probably watched 7 different people give thoughts, and 7 different people kind of said, this doesn't happen without the sign off by Nikola.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, that's, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I would tend to agree with that in any city, in any market.
Do the Kroenkes operate like that? I don't know that the Kroenkes operate like that.
Nikola Jokic has a $200 million-plus dollar
I would
contract.
Hope you operate like that.
They're operating.
If he's the face, I mean,
you're not doing this. There's no conceivable world that exists that you're telling me they did this and didn't talk to him.
Oh, by the way, big quesarito, we fired your head coach and your GM. Sorry.
Yeah, you're just going to drop that on him and then walk away?
Last night.
You really buy that?
Find out on
There's
social
no way
media.
You believe that.
Oh, I think they would give him a heads up, but was he like
they won a Super Bowl as an ownership group. Like, I understand they're kind of cheap, but like,
screwed over St. Louis, but they won a title.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also not going to act like they're the worst ownership group in sports.
No.
Didn't the Avs just win a Stanley Cup a couple of years back?
They did. They just won one.
Who owns that?
Might win one this year.
Who owns them?
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
So they have a Stanley Cup, they got an NBA championship, and they've got a Super Bowl, and you're going to say that they operate in a way where they don't tell their $200-plus million star player that they're going to fire the coach and the GM?
Well, I think they gave him a heads up. I don't know how much they went and...
Like, I don't think he was consulted of should we fire him. I think it was a, hey, we're thinking about doing this. Are you okay?
Yeah.
He probably said, sure, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm Nikola Jokic. I'm the best player on the planet. Anybody can coach me.
That's kind of the point.
Buy
exactly
me another horse and we're
saying.
Good. Yeah. So.
They didn't just drop, hey, by the way, Mike's not coming in today. See you later.
No, I believe
next
that.
Next team meeting.
But
hey,
I
where's
don't,
Mike at?
I don't think they went and had him or they told him ahead of time.
But why don't
I don't
why,
think
okay,
they
but if it was LeBron,
him.
You would say LeBron fired his coach.
Yes.
That would be the narrative today, would it not?
Remember when Luka was traded to L.A. Yeah. and the narrative was he had no clue about it? And everybody's like, I mean, even myself was like, yeah, get out of here. He didn't have any clue about it. Of course he did. He's LeBron James.
And then their group chat just came out, and Austin Reeves was like, oh, you're lying to us when AD said I just got traded. It's a group chat.
Guy's the commissioner of the league, the pseudo-commissioner. Of course he knew. He's pulling all the strings.
Yeah, I mean, look, I find that interesting in itself, because if it was LeBron on that team, and I know we make fun of these ESPN shows because all they do is debate LeBron, but it's impossible not to think, what would everybody be saying today?
Yeah.
Basketball fan and casual basketball fan, if LeBron was the star in Denver and this happened with two or three games left in the regular season, it'd be all about how LeBron's a bitch, how he does this, he doesn't get his way, but the guy's quiet. He cares about little horses carrying buggies. Yeah,
he's funny.
Yeah.
He's funny in a non-funny way.
Right, not trying to be, but he is funny.
And because he's not talking about China and all these things, we don't place that on him. He gets to escape any kind of, hey, he kind of was okay firing the coach that helped get him a championship.
Who's coached him his entire career.
His entire career.
He's been the only head coach he has ever had. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Let him go. We'll be all right.
That was one little element yesterday. I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's going to be a big deal tomorrow.
No.
I haven't seen so far that being a big deal.
That won't be a big deal at all. There's one guy who's held to a certain standard, and we all know who that one guy is. And I don't know how the NBA media or media in general are going to react when he's no longer playing, because
Kyrie,
he's the only guy we do it to.
KD, LeBron. Trying to think if it's another player. Yeah. Can you think of a fourth player? I think those three players, if this happens, it's all about those players did this. Oh, my God. Look what these players demand.
Coach killers.
Harden?
Can't coach them.
Yeah, Harden's a good one. That's a great one, actually. Yeah, James Harden. Yeah, so maybe those four players in the league, if
this
happens.
There's guys with that stereotype that come with it.
Yeah, where if it's Jokic, it's
then
like,
it's about the player. I don't think this was about the player.
I don't think he went to management and said, fire Mike
Malone. I don't think Jokic is one to go constantly in there and give his 2 cents whether or not it's solicited.
Well, have you watched the... I'm just curious how much you guys have actually watched the Nuggets, like aside from their TNT or ESPN games.
That's all I got, because I don't have
I don't have the package. So.
Okay.
But if they're on NBA TV, they...
Yes. Okay. They're a must-watch.
They are my favorite non-Blazer team to watch.
I'm not telling you he went and led the effort to fire him. I'm not saying that at all. But this isn't happening
without
his blessing.
But if he shrugged his shoulders and said, you got to do what you got to do.
And I've never watched him more this year be more visibly pissed off than this season. Yeah. And I don't blame him. He's getting a 60-point triple-double and losing. Right. You have a right to be pissed.
Yes, I'm carrying the team and nobody else is doing their part.
But, like, he's visibly showing you anger and he's usually largely unemotional.
But at this point, what is somebody going to do, especially somebody that's never been a head coach at the collegiate or the NBA level, to change?
So are they waving the white flag?
I think it's all about Jamal Murray's hamstring. If they have Jamal Murray out there,
Adelman can get him to a title.
I don't know if this is a title team, but.
Dirt's going to pick him to win the West because they've got Jokic.
They got Jokic, baby. He's the best player on the planet. Yeah, I don't know if it's a waving of the white flag or not. To me, they have been so bad defensively that they're just hoping that any sort of change in message will get guys to listen and buy in. I mean, that was some of the reading that I did on it yesterday, was that they're giving up. You look at just even the last handful of games, it's been ugly defensively.
Yeah, look at their offense and Malone, without Jokic.
In the offense without Jokic is non-existent, right? And so you're relying on one player offensively. You gave up 140 to the T-Wolves in that loss that Jokic went off. You gave up 113 to the Wembley-less Spurs in loss. You gave up 118 to the Warriors in loss. You gave up 125 to Indiana in loss. That's your four-game losing streak. Even some of the games that they won, they beat the Bucks. They gave up 117 points in that game.
Yeah.
So they've just, and Malone has been trying everything that he can, reportedly, behind the scenes of like, can we please listen? Can we please buy in? Can we please put effort in? And nobody's listening to him anymore. And so I don't know if it's necessarily a waving of the white flag. It's more of just, the message clearly isn't working. I don't agree with the firing. There's three games to go in the regular season. I think it's ridiculous to fire your head coach at that point. You might as well let him finish it out. If you get bounced in the first round, then so be it. You want to move on from a guy who just won a title 2 years ago, that's fine. I viewed it more of their thinking was the message isn't getting through. Maybe a different messenger is what we need. I do think there's a fascinating angle. We've talked about this a lot in the NBA. We haven't seen a lot of it recently of two international players this offseason of just where are their heads at and how does it work out depending on their playoff success. I do think Jokic is one. You mentioned the mannerisms that he's had on the floor. He's been clearly frustrated this year. He's having an unbelievable... He's the best player in the NBA,
it's
in my mind.
The best year of his career.
Best year of his career. Unbelievable. He's won three MVPs, and this is the best year of his career, and he's not going to win an MVP this year.
They might
lose in the... I mean, they could lose in five games in the first round of the Clippers, for all we know.
They could fall into the play-in
They could fall into the play-in and not even make the playoffs, right? So if that happens, where's his headspace at long-term? They just fired the only head coach he's had. I do think they got his... Not blessing, but they ran it by him first. They're kind of stuck between how do we improve the... I mean, you're trading Jamal Murray. Is that getting you anything? Is moving Michael Porter getting you anything?
They need to move Porter because contractually it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but how much energy is there for other NBA teams to go get him right now, right? I don't think that's a hot commodity. The guy's a hot and cold player, and he's got a horrible contract. And so they're stuck in the spot where how do we improve the roster? And you're already seeing even if Jokic is this good, it might not be enough around him. And I feel the same way about Giannis this offseason. Dame being in and out of the lineup, if they lose again in the first... Like, I think there's two international stars this offseason that I just am fascinated to see how the offseason goes for them and where their heads are at if the playoffs go the way many people think it will go for them.
Here is the guy who led the charge on this, Josh Kroenke. He did an interview after the news came out of firing Mike Malone. Here was his reasoning for why right now.
You know, this wasn't a decision that was taken lightly or taken as in a reactionary fashion to anything specific. Having observed our group over a very long period of time, what I would say is that, you know, having observed that group over a period of time, there were certain trends that were very worrisome to me at different points in time. But they would get masked by a few wins here and there. And, you know, in the world of professional sports, when winning and losing is your currency, winning can mask a lot of things. We went on an eight game win streak right before the All-Star break. But since then, I think we're 11 and 13. We've lost our last four, and we're trending towards a direction that I thought would probably be a very near end to our season in the near future. And so all that taken into consideration, wanted to try to figure out a way to potentially squeeze as much juice out of the rest of the season as possible.
So they're going to squeeze as much juice out of that as possible. So they put a guy with no head coaching experience at the helm going into the playoffs.
Squeeze that juice, baby.
It's a very weird way to juice.
You going to make some lemonade if I hand you some lemons?
I got to tell you, overrated homemade juice. Like, it tastes the best, but yeah, it sucks to make.
The process of it, not worth
it. You know how many lemons you gotta squeeze to really make good yes, lemonade? How many oranges you gotta yeah, actually yeah, juice to make, like, a decent couple cups?
I gave you guys the automatic juicers. Are you using those?
He did, yeah.
What?
Did you throw yours away?
I didn't. You gave us juicers?
Yeah. You did.
When?
A couple of years ago?
Yeah. Shortly after we moved to the
wow,
morning.
Well, the morning? It's like 5 years ago.
It's a couple years
it's a
ago.
A house ago.
You got a free juicer out of the
maybe
deal.
Maybe I still have it. It's I got to be honest with you.
It's
I
in a cupboard
it,
somewhere. It's, yeah, in a, it's in a garage or a cupboard probably, somewhere. And you're like, oh, that's right. Next time you clean something out, you'll be like, that's where that is.
Well, I love homemade juice. I will yeah, tell you that. Like, homemade orange juice is the best.
Oh, but I marinated chicken last night in citrus. So a lemon, a lime, and an orange.
I'm going to make your silver pants blue.
It's chicken.
It's chicken.
It's not worth the squeeze, man. It's not worth the squeeze.
It's definitely not worth the squeeze.
It's not worth the squeeze.
What are the Blazers going to do?
Not fire their head coach?
Well, let's... How do you not wonder about this now that yeah, the team that just won the title a couple years ago does it with their career leader?
Having yes, standards as an organization. I don't agree with it, but...
Well...
And hearing from an owner.
I would be on the bat phone to Malone's agent.
I want to talk about this because it might not make sense, actually. So let's talk about that on the other side. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. Is the juice worth the squeeze? You can vote now at Dirt and Sprague, yes or no. A lot of work to marinate some pork. I say no.
Chicken.
Chicken. Chicken.
It was chicken.
Sorry.
It's chicken.
Come on now.
I mean, I'm sure it was delicious because you cooked it, but.
Yeah.
A lot of work to be
married. That's a lot of effort,
chicken,
man. That's a lot of effort. God bless you if you're willing to put in that effort.
Is
he's
this?
Got no kid. He gets home. He's watching sports. Yeah. Pilot season's done. He's got time on his hands.
I don't know why. I just always have you in whitey tighties walking around your house. Yeah.
Little Walter
snow,
White kind of cooking some meth in an RV.
No, it's more. It's more like
got an apron on.
I'm in
pork butts drive me nuts. Big apron. He's got one of those in his whitey tighties.
No,
listening to some Frank Sinatra.
Some workout shorts.
Hey.
Workout shorts and a t-shirt.
No, I have
slides,
you yelling at your wife, Lady Swag.
I'm the one who marinates. I'm the one who sears.
She's at work.
So yesterday we talked with Mike Richmond. And by the way, thank you to one of our listeners. I saw this. I forgot to mention it. Four of the last six title coaches have been fired.
2 years later.
2 years later.
Yeah.
And this one from Mr. Malik Andrews, our good friend Dave McMiniman. Mike Malone, 1-23, fired in 25. Bud, 21, fired in 23. Vogel, 20, fired in 22. Nurse, 1-19, fired in 2023. Tyronn Lue, 16, fired in 18.
Yeah.
So winning a title means absolutely nothing. It is very hockey-esque what the NBA is doing right now. But we talked with Mike Richmond yesterday. You can find that podcast up on YouTube or 1080thefan.com. And we said, do you think they're going to extend him? And I thought his point of they probably would have done that at the same time as Cronin to like say...
Would have made sense.
You know, one of those politician pictures where they're holding hands and they raise their hands together. We're together. Vote for us.
On to victory.
We're taking big corporate dollars and we're lying to you. And that's what you would imagine they would do, but maybe they're going to wait till the end of the year and surprise us and extend Chauncey Billups.
Yep.
But you keep mentioning, like, there's teams that are winning titles with these coaches, and then a couple years later, it's not good enough. Bye-bye. Mike Malone is about as highly regarded a coach in that league as you could possibly get. And I saw a lot of, man, the Blazers better call. And maybe they will. But I'm just going to throw this out there. What about Mike Malone's personality type strikes you as, yeah, Burt Cold really wants to deal with that?
None of it. None of it at all.
Okay.
No, I understand that.
Neil Olshey almost hired Mike Malone in 2012. Did
yes,
you guys know that before Terry Stotts?
Yeah.
But he ultimately said, I couldn't do this because two Irish guys could not possibly work together when they run as hot as we run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, Mike Malone was that in 2012. Gotten a title since. He's only yeah, become more of...
I know what the hell I'm doing. Get the hell out of my way. This
yes,
is my team.
Yes.
There's a lot
yes,
of that with
Cronin's
him,
personality, I think, is one that could work with Malone, but you're right. If Cronin, if his extension and he's allowed, if this is his deal,
Which it should be. He's the general manager.
He's the general
of the
manager.
Team. He should be able to
why is Cronin's personality type good with Malone, but Calvin Booth's not? I don't think you know what Calvin Booth sounds like when he talks.
I had never seen a picture of Calvin Booth until he got fired yesterday.
As the GM?
Yeah. I didn't remember what he looked like.
Well, you remember I think from playing days?
Not really, no.
Oh, yeah, I think Calvin Booth. I don't think it was personality. I think they had a genuine disagreement in philosophy of what they're trying to
but
do.
But why do you think that would not happen with Cronin?
They would figure that out before he got hired. Like Malone would come in and, I mean, obviously you look at the roster of the team, there's no Jokic on there for crying out loud. So the question for Malone is how far away from being competitive, truly competitive.
Is this even a job you'd want if you're Mike Malone?
That's the question. How many of the things could he get pitched?
Ownership group could be in flux in like 3 years.
Is Philly going to, finally be done? Buttonhole's probably out in Phoenix. What are they going to do? Yeah, there could be a lot more attractive.
If I'm Mike Malone, I'd do the media tour for a year.
Yeah, dude, take a step away, dude. Go hang out in the background.
Dude,
wait until another job
Charles
opens up.
Charles Barkley, a little red ass on TV, saying, oh, I would have done that.
This guy's really a bum, calling people out. If I were him, I wouldn't jump right back
into
coaching.
NBC Amazon's on the horn.
Unless the right opportunity pops up for him.
Well, the Blazers might be in a position where they're looking for a coach, Dirt.
We have no clue. But
we have no clue. But I'm asking sincerely, they didn't interview for general manager.
Nope.
They gave it an interim guy, and then they just said, it's yours. Now, a lot of people like Joe Cronin. I'm rooting for Joe Cronin. He's done some really good things in my mind. I also think it's a little organizational malpractice to not even have an interview process for debatably the most important job.
Let's hear a multitude of visions and opinions and thoughts about the direction this thing is going.
And if it's Joe,
that's great.
That's awesome.
Give him the job.
But they didn't do that. And so I'm asking, are they going to have an open interview process for their coaching gig? Or do they have somebody that if it's not Chauncey, they know who they're going to hire?
It's going to be interesting on Sunday. Their final game of the season is on Sunday. If I remember correctly, they usually do exit interviews immediately after the game. Like, that's it.
Yeah, and it's a home game. So
they're here. The media is going to be there.
Monday. Well, the media will be there.
Is it not right after the game? I feel like they do it after the last home game of the year.
It depends who it is. They
it's
have that
usually
locker clear
back
out
at
day,
the
remember?
It's usually back at the training facility.
So that whole thing
day.
Is because they've extended Cronin. So if you don't make a decision on Chauncey literally after the final game of the regular season, he's then going in front of the media.
I don't know why they
I don't expect
made up
an answer actually at the goodbye.
I mean, why would we expect anything to be rationally done here? Nothing has been. So
I'm just saying, I don't think on Monday when they do those exit interviews, I think we're going to get a lot of dancing around that topic because they don't want to come out and make a big deal of.
Well, now you're hanging him out to dry. I mean, you're essentially asking him to go answer questions about, hey, how'd the season go and how's next season going to go? But am I going to be here next season? Is Novi's going to be here? Cronin's going to be non-committal.
Yeah, you can't have that press conference.
Make a decision.
Why can't you have that press conference?
If I'm Chauncey, I'm not doing it.
He's under contract. He's the head coach of the team. It's a media obligation by the league.
I don't want to dismiss what you guys are saying. That's an easy dance around if I'm them. Well, we're going to get together and we're going to have to talk and we're going to make sure both sides were really happy with how this season is.
Oh, I know
gone.
What they'll say. I just
it's an
it's
easy
ridiculous.
Dance around for a coach and general manager.
How do you not know at this point what you want to do?
They
that's,
do.
That's my point.
Well, then why don't you do it?
Then do it.
Well, because you don't.
What?
Do you want that attention?
What attention? Nobody's paying
no
attention
what.
To you. You're irrelevant.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys are right here. I just think it's an easy dance around. And it just
look, I know you're right. I mean, they're going to look. Neil O'Shea once drank a bottle of water and said, shut down questions about Chauncey Billups. So they know how to dance around things when it's awkward and uncomfortable. So I'm
I
not
would
discrediting
do it now
that.
Because very quickly, you'll have the play-in games. The playoffs will start. All of that, the shift will turn to the draft lottery. Do it now.
I chuckle at the idea that NBA teams who have won NBA championships are firing coaches. And we needed a head coach to go along with the tank this year, and we had a head coach who didn't go along with the tank because we refused to fire him because we didn't want to pay his buyout because we didn't want to fork up whatever it was, $5 million for a year to say thanks for your services, and then he wins too many games, and now we got to be stuck in limbo about, is he going to be the coach next year? Is he getting an extension? It's going to linger into the offseason. One of the reasons that these teams are doing it, and I've seen people advocate for why it makes sense to fire a GM, is that, like, dude, the lottery's in a month. The draft is in 2 months. Like, it's coming up. So if you don't think the GM is the answer, like, move on now.
So I think the coach is the one that surprised me.
The coach
right,
is the bigger
right
deal because it's the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
And somebody's saying that this season the exit interviews are immediately after the game on Sunday. And they
okay,
work
okay,
for the they work for the Trailblazers in the game.
No, that, okay. Yeah.
So it's
I
right
thought
after
I saw Danny say something about that, but okay. I couldn't remember exactly. So right after, we're going to see what they do. I'm fascinated to see it, to hear it.
Because you're not firing him before the last game of the season. Okay. There's no intel that that's going to happen. So he's just...
We're way over. I got to ask you this, though.
Yeah.
You're a Blazer fan.
Yes.
You want to see the Blazers do well, despite what your public criticisms have been at times.
I want nothing more than them to be successful.
Right. If they don't... Like, if Mike Malone and Taylor Jenkins, they need them to want us, too. But if it comes out and they have who they want to hire and it ain't one of those two, like, those are the two biggest names on the market, right?
The most accomplished coaches on the market.
Of note, at least, that we know of. I'm sure there's an assistant that insiders know about, but I'm just kind of curious to watch how all that goes. Is it a guy internally, they're like, it's yours, or is it a super open thing, and they go, Taylor Jenkins, you did a great job with a young, great Memphis team, and it didn't work out. Why don't you come and coach the next great young Western Conference team and guide us back to the playoffs and hopefully glory?
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of an issue, I think, for the majority of the fan base if they close it up and just say we handpicked our guy. I think fans would largely have an issue with.
Well, I don't know how you wouldn't, to be honest with you.
Look, and
I
look
questioning that
coaching in the NBA is one, like Mike Malone won an NBA championship because he had the best player in the league on his team.
100%.
That's like Steve Kerr.
Rosters are the most important.
Roster and the GM is the most important thing. But there are also little things that coaches can do, and they are proven winners, and they are proven X's and O's guys. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. And if you're hiring a complete unknown, a guy who's never been a head coach before, you're just saying, "Hey, trust us." Which I don't know why there'd be a lot of that right now.
Loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague hour two on the Fan and the Odyssey app.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters. And we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.